want to ask you to turn to Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. And let's read verses 1 and 2, Hebrews chapter 12. Probably a very familiar passage to most of us. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray together this morning for this word of God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this challenge. And this morning, as I open up part of this verse, I ask that you might help me and that you might help us to understand what's the thrust of your spirit, the pressure of your spirit, the impression that your spirit wants to make on our heart this morning through these verses and even through this whole chapter as we get through it over the next year or so. We just want to thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, I want to introduce you to our theme verse for 2012. And our theme verse is taken from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And it's actually right there on the wall. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. I want to ask you to stand and say that with me. We're going to do this every so often, to stand and just say this verse together. So let's say this verse together. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. Now just stay standing. I want you to read it one more time. What I'm going to emphasize this morning is the word endurance. And I'm going to try to show you this morning that the whole focus of the verse is on not running so much, but the endurance in enduring and running and running and running and continuing to run. So let's say it again and let's emphasize the word endurance this morning. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. Okay, thank you. Have a seat. Your leaders have chosen this verse so that we can motivate ourselves as a congregation to live by faith, to continue to run with endurance in order to fulfill the will of God and to bring glory to God through our lives. We need to remind ourselves and encourage one another to persistently follow after God, especially as we live in a world that calls us away from God as we turn every corner. We are called to run with endurance the race that is set before us. We have another warning and piece of advice in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. It says this, "Take care, brothers and sisters," we could add to that, "lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end." Hold our original confidence firm to the end. So our goal is to exhort one another with this theme verse this year, to run and to run with endurance, not giving up as we run the race before us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. What I want to do this morning is to show you how this verse fits into the book of Hebrews. So I want to give you a wider picture, kind of a wider context this morning, rather than looking specifically at the verse, which we will start to look at next week and do periodically as we go along. But this morning, I just want to give you a why. Why this verse is there and how it connects to the rest of the book of Hebrews. The emphasis, as I said in this verse, is on the word endurance, steadfastness, perseverance. Some translations even have patience, but it's to run with endurance the race. And I want to show you how this fits into the wider context. Running the race is symbolic of our daily life, but endurance is the reality of how we live by faith in our daily life. He could have used another analogy, as it were, than from running. Maybe another athletic contest or a soldier where he uses in other parts of Scripture. But the endurance is the reality that we have to face in everyday life on a day-to-day basis. So endurance is the focus here, and I want to just show you how the author gets to this verse in chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. You take your bulletins out. I hope you each have one. On the first page on the inside, on the left-hand side, just above the title where it says, "Let us run with endurance," I have there a Greek-English interlinear translation of this verse. Okay? That sounds really, really complicated. It's not complicated at all. An interlinear translation takes the order of the Greek words and translates them into English. So when you read it as an English sentence, it looks like it's kind of all mixed up. But that's the way it is in the Greek language. And sometimes that really helps us to understand a verse. And what I want to show you is that the first three words of this verse, "so therefore," is actually the one word, but we translate it as two in English. The first three words of this sentence are a real key to our understanding of the rest of these verses. Let me read that to you, even though it may sound like I'm not speaking English. "So therefore also we, such having lying around us a cloud of witnesses, encumbrance putting away every and the most besetting sin, through endurance let us run the set before us contest." The word is contest, not race, but we translate it as race. These three words at the beginning of this sentence, "so therefore also we," then point to "through endurance let us run the race." The first two, "so therefore," the first word actually, points backwards to something that has been already written by the author. And then the "also we" points to what we are supposed to do as a result of what the author has written in this book. "Because of what I have said, I want you to, through endurance, run the race before you." And I hope to put that together as we go along here. To understand what the author is pointing back to, we need to look back at what has been written before this verse. And I just want to take you back to chapter 10, verses 35 to 39. We won't go any further back than that. We could go through the book and see how this theme goes on. We already saw that in chapter 3, where he talked about continuing on to the end. But I just want to look at verses 35 to 39 in chapter 10, and then work our way back to chapter 12 here. So 35 to 39 says this: "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yea, a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." So verse 35 encourages us not to throw away our confidence. And this confidence is described earlier in chapter 10 in verses 19 to 22. It's a confidence to go into the holy place by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's a confidence that gives us a clear conscience. It's a confidence that fills us with hope. So that confidence is based on our relationship with Jesus Christ. We find in verses 23 and 24 very similar commands to the one we have in chapter 12 to endure. It says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised it is faithful. Let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You can see the author is trying to stir up the people of God to press on, to keep going, to endure. And he's pointing to what they have in Christ, the hope that they have in Christ. And he says, keep running, keep going. So verse 12 points back to this, the author's constant rhetoric of going forth, have confidence, hold on, keep going, march steady, go forth. And we see all of those kind of different words in the context here. The author wants the readers to know the greatness of what they have in Christ and then to take hold of that greatness in such a way that it will not be lost or wasted. Endurance and perseverance is to grip the follower of Christ. In order not to throw away this confidence in Jesus Christ, it says in verse 36, you have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Endurance is essential to receiving the promises of God. We are to endure to the end so that we can receive what God has promised us. In verse 38, if you studied the last part of this chapter 10, he actually switches from endurance to the word faith. And so really, faith and endurance are one and the same thing in this book of Hebrews. And we'll see that really well in Hebrews chapter 11. So he talks more here about faith in verse 38 as the enduring way to walk is the way to walk with faith, or else this enduring kind of faith that we are to have. And the opposite of faith is shrinking back. So there you have it. Endurance, which is a faith, or shrinking back. You need to decide what you're going to do in your race in the Christian life. The word shrinking back means to withdraw oneself. In our look at verse 1 of chapter 12, it would be stop running the race and just quit, sit down, and don't finish the course that has been outlined for you. But the author doesn't want us to do that, doesn't want us to shrink back. He wants us to endure unto the end, to persevere unto the end, to keep going and not to stop. Then in verse 39, the writer boldly proclaimed, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. We are in the group that is going to press on to the end and not shrink back. And we are going to finish the course. We are going to finish the race. The word destroyed there in verse 39 is actually a strong word. It means to lose your salvation. We're not of those who quit and don't show that we truly belong to God. We persevere unto the end, and show through that that we are indeed one of God's children. Then from this challenge of chapter 10, the writer moves to chapter 11, and he gives us many examples of enduring faith through many different kinds of circumstances. Noah, Enoch, Abel, Abraham, Moses, Gideon, and many, many others. Some unknown, some who didn't have victory but were destroyed and were killed, but nevertheless endured to the end. Then at the end of chapter 11, verses 39 and 40, we read that these men of faith in chapter 11 did not receive what was promised because God had something even better for them. They were living for the promise, but they never received the promise. And he says this in the end of verse 11. It's really good. Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. As he's writing to the Hebrews, he's telling them, what you now have is what these Old Testament saints were living for. The promise that you have in Jesus Christ, the Son. That is the fulfillment of all the sacrifices. That's the fulfillment of all the prophecies. That's the fulfillment of all that was predicted in the Old Testament. And that is the perfection that these Old Testament saints were looking for. And you have that before you now. And so these Old Testament saints have been perfected in what you are now experiencing. And then we get to chapter 12, verse 1, with this, so therefore also we. So let's review what this writer is saying here. So therefore points back to what has been written. 10:35. Do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. 10:36. You have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. 10:39. We are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. He points back to chapter 11, filled with the examples of confidence and endurance and faith that does not shrink. Now, in the light of these past examples of faith, in the light of what I have exhorted the readers to do, I want you to endure the race that is set before you. I pointed back to how we needed to endure. I've given you all these examples of Old Testament saints who didn't even have the promises that were fulfilled. And so now I want you, in the light of all that the revelation that you have of Jesus Christ, of who He is, of the fullness of the promises that He has given you, to endure and to run the race that is set before you. If the Old Testament saints endured in faith without the revelation of Jesus Christ, how much more, in light of the fuller revelation of Jesus Christ that you now have, should you endure and run the race set before you? The writer gives those he is writing to every incentive to endurance, to press on in their faith, to persevere, to not give up, to strive to the end, no matter what the cost to themselves. We shall see how hard the author expects the Christians to endure when we look more closely at chapter 12. And he tells us all kinds of things to endure in chapter 12. The trials and the tribulations of this world, the disciplines that God will bring into your life, the bitterness and the resentment that comes up as you go through life. And so he goes through all of these areas and he says, endure in every single place where God puts you, in every single experience that you go through as well. And we'll see how hard he wants us to endure as we look at the rest of chapter 12. The letter to the Hebrews was written to Jewish converts who were being tempted by persecution and suffering from the outside, persecution from the outside, as well as by their own Jewish friends to return back to the Jewish faith and not to continue in this new faith, this Jewish faith, this Christian faith, this faith in this supposed Messiah, Jesus Christ. And so they're being called to give up that race and to go back to their old ways. And the writer here is encouraging them to go on in their Christian faith, in this faith that they have discovered, this new hope, this new life, this new confidence in Jesus Christ. They were being pressured to turn back to their Jewish practices and to forsake Jesus and the way of faith. The writer has given these new Jewish converts proof that Jesus is a better high priest than the Levites, a better sacrifice than the Old Testament sacrifices that could not forgive sin, a foundation for the new covenant that was promised to them in the Old Testament. If their forefathers with a limited revelation endured with great faith, how much more should they run with endurance the race set before him? And so that's what the book of Hebrews is about. Jesus is the fulfillment of the priesthood, of the sacrifices, of the old covenant, which is now a new covenant in his blood. And if the old saints endured, even in their limited revelation, you should endure far more in the fullness of the revelation of Christ that I have given you. Run with endurance the race that is set before you. For us, I would think the temptation is not to go back to an old religious system like it was here for the Hebrew believers. The temptation for us is more a materialism, busyness, worldly philosophies, self-preservation, pride, appeals to the flesh all around us. Rather than deliberate turning away, we tend to drift away from having Jesus Christ as the center of our life. And we're warned about that in Hebrews chapter 2:1, drifting away by not paying attention to the words that God has given us. The command to endurance for us is to consciously and deliberately live by faith in the middle of a godless world. The command to endurance for us is to live in God's will until we come to the end of our lives, to know and to choose what is important to God and to keep doing that. To run with endurance means an ongoing struggle to swim against the current and even the the current of Christianity in these days, in North America in particular. To run with endurance means an ongoing struggle to walk in obedience to God in a godless world. It's so easy to just drift away and forget why God has called us and who we are in Christ. Enduring does not get easier. It gets harder as you grow in your Christian life. Christian maturity doesn't make the path smoother and easier. In many ways, it makes it more difficult. Old age doesn't make the path smoother or easier. In many ways, it gets more difficult. As I'm getting older, I'm finding the Christian life harder to live than I did when I was, 10 years ago or 15 years ago. The temptations are stronger. The temptation to just coast becomes more appealing. And my daily prayer is to be able to make it to the end. So I need the encouragement of a verse like this. I need the encouragement of a service like this that points that God is holy, the only holy one, and that He has called me to belong to Him and that He will make me holy. I need a group of runners to run with. You know, it's like your friend phones you at 5 a.m, it's time to go out and jog. No, but Fred is there and George is there and so-and-so, and we're all waiting for you. Okay. And then you say, well, I'm glad I came out today and ran the race with you guys. So I need a team to run with. I need a group to run with. I need the encouragement to go on, especially in these days. And so many things come upon our lives at different times when we need that kind of encouragement to endure unto the end. I'm just doing some preparations in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 for the men's Bible study. And I just see what Paul went through before he wrote that letter and how important it was for him to have the encouragement of others around him. And so that's why we've chosen this verse this year, that we might encourage one another to endure as we press on through this year and continue on in the race. I want to be able to say with Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who loved His appearing. I want to hear Jesus say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. To hear that, to get the crown of righteousness, I must, through endurance, run the race that is set before me. But I'd like to run it with others as well. Next week, we'll begin to look at actually verses 1 and 2 and so on, and begin to work our way over a number of months through Hebrews 12. We won't be doing it every week. We'll probably be focusing on this chapter during communion times and so on. And that we can encourage each other at least once a month, through endurance, run the race that is set before us. I was just thinking, this might be a good year, if you haven't read Pilgrim's Progress for a while, to read the story of Christian going to the Celestial City. And all the troubles he goes through and all the helps that he gets along the way. Got a copy in the office. I don't know if there's any in the in our library or not, but just thinking about that. Yeah, that might be something good to just see what we need to endure. Here's another thing. Just imagine what kind of ship you'd be coming into harbor, the Celestial Harbor. What shape will you be in? All gloriously decorated with all the flags flying? I don't think so. Broken masts and shattered and shredded sails and holes all over and plugged up and just about ready to sink. But you made it. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.